Perfect. All right, we will go ahead and resume our meeting. Mayor and Council met from 5:30 to 5:51 p.m. in executive session for some legal advice. So we are now resuming our meeting. Next, we will do Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, we have Pastor Keith Colonna for our invocation. Thank you.
Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we pause at the start of this gathering, Lord, to give above all the honor to you. And in doing, Father, we are reminding of those familiar words found in your word, Lord, spoken by your servant Mordecai to Esther. For who knows but that you have come to your royal possession for such a time as this. Father, I believe it's safe to say, Lord, there's no royalty but you gathered here this evening. But there are, in fact, every one of us, individuals, caring individuals, gathered here for such a time as this. Father, in these difficult, trying, and often uncertain times, Lord, we thank you that you have ordered our steps and gathered us together for such a time as this. Lord, thank you for the leadership that you have raised up to lead the town of Fellowsburg. And with that said, Father, we ask now that you impart the wisdom and the knowledge to do just that. That is to govern and lead this community. And in doing that, in each decision will not only bring honor to you, but likewise play into your perfect plan for both this community and your people as a whole. Father, may your perfect will be done in this meeting this evening. We ask this in your son's marvelous name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, next we have public comment. You can step up to the podium, state your name and your address if you would like to make any public comment. All right, next we have approval of the minutes. The minutes were distributed. Are there any addition or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, I will take a motion to approve the minutes as distributed.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as distributed.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have reassignment of ARPA funding, support for Heyday community event. Town Manager DeRee.
Madam Mayor, members of council, we've got a request for support for the gap funding in this year's Heyday community event. As a general fund expenditure, an event like this is covered under ARPA for ARPA funding. What I've attached is the staff report from last October, where one of the requests was to also bring in some, you know, purification devices here for Town Hall. That wasn't done, so that expenditure, while it's approved, was never spent. I think it's appropriate to move that funding over to A-Day, and it's no change to the general calculation of where we are with our ARPA funding. So staff makes the recommendation that the ARPA request in the sum of $2,659.70 of gap funding to support the A-Day, this year's A-Day event, be approved pending further discussion. And Park Lane Church has attached their previous year's budget. As you can see, their cost of Heyday has gone up, and things happen. So they've got the line item as well as the last few years of their budget expenditure. So as far as documentation on a cost is concerned, we've got it with their submittal.
I've got the problems for going on.
No. I don't either. I think
it's a good event.
It's a great event, and it's a free community event.
Can I get a motion to support that?
Make a motion to allocate $2,659.70 from our funding to the Park Lane Church God's Haven.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have reassignment of, water tank lights and ongoing diagnostic and programming services agreement with Pixel Lumen Lab, LLC.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, this is a follow-up from our previous discussions about the picture with the lights, what I think lights, but also the specific, the 3 millipixel lumen. The initial draft, the pixel lumen submitted, which was in front of Mayor and Council last month, talked about a requirement that in the contract that they would have key access. There was some concern about giving a third-party key access. If you'll notice, that's been removed, and rather it's now notice to the owner, to us, to let the under client obligation to let them have access as long as there was a notice in advance to client. So that was the change that was specifically asked for. There's no change in the price, and the general language remains the same. So pending further discussion, staff is recommending that the revised version of the Pixel Lumen agreement be approved.
The only question I did have on that was that they wanted to do their, I guess, maintenance check in September, which is like now.
Yeah.
Like, would they just do that after we get the water tower painted and the lights get put back up? Because I hate to waste the time now or the money on our, we get our one shot for maintenance
correct.
A year. I hate to waste it prior to the painting when they're getting ready to take everything down.
Correct. And the painting is 7th of September. Hopefully the painting starts this month, but they're also under, you know, wind, weather windows, et cetera. So by the time they get over here, they'd be in Southern Corrosion to coordinate everything. I'd like to be able to say September 30th is a far way off, but it's not. So if this goes over into October, I'm sure we can work out something as an amendment just in recognition of the availability of everybody involved, just to say those were responsible for the lights and us were both responsible for the maintenance and painting of the tank to be able to coordinate schedule. Pixel Lumen has been reasonable to this point.
And that was the only concern that I had, that I would like to have them do the maintenance after that. So, anybody else have any concerns about the agreement?
No, not about the agreement. I noticed that the design changed the other day.
Yeah.
Did we change it, or is
no.
it just something that they've got running, some program they've got running?
That's a really good question, because we've not been handed over anything as far as our own maintenance, or not maintenance, but our own programming of the tank.
Right.
So it's these concentric rings and American flag, and it's actually pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
But we didn't program that.
Okay.
And I don't know again if it's this building or something that the historical society have some.
But right now, I would think nobody has an agreement with them, so anything they're doing is pro bono at this point.
Yeah, and it might just be
who's paying for something that nobody has an agreement with them for.
And it might just be standard stuff.
Right.
Program the American flag display.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
All right.
I'll make a motion that we accept the Pixel Lumen Labs agreement for the service of the lights.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we have revision of the Town Code, Chapter 17, for the animal ordinance.
Madam Mayor, members of council, this is also a follow-up from the discussion of last month. Our Town Attorney has provided the language for the proposed amendment to Chapter 17, which is the animal ordinance. It's 4 pages. It's available on the website for anyone who's interested in taking a look. Or if you want a copy, we can get your copy. It would take a while to read everything into the public record, but again, it speaks to things like vicious animals, prohibition on keeping farm animals in residential districts, the prohibition against exotic animals as defined in the code, in the Maryland State Code, enforcement of vicious animals, animals roaming at large prohibited. There's also a section on violation of penalties, and that's the nature of our animal ordinance, which our current animal ordinance is a bit thin. This is a bit more robust on, again, things like vicious animals, public nuisances, type of animals you can have, you can't have, and the prohibition against exotic animals, which at this point is not necessarily a problem in Federalsburg, but you want to get ahead of some things. So that's what we've got as far as the new draft of the animal ordinance, the town code.
All Does anybody have any questions about it?
Well, I think that we do need to discuss grandfathering in people who currently have animals that fall outside of this ordinance.
I thought that was covered.
And the way it's written right now, if I understood Lindsay's email, is that people would have 2 years to get rid of those animals the way it's written right now, unless we do a grandfathering clause, which honestly, I feel like that's the right way to handle that.
I mean, agree.
If people already have those animals because they thought they could have them, because we didn't have a policy against them, you can't all of a sudden say you can't.
And some of them live longer than 2 more years.
Right.
So.
And but having said that, I think that we need to... How do you sort of, I don't know, police that, for lack of a better word? I mean, you know, if somebody... Do they have to register their animals with the town hall? I mean, how would you know if the fellow who has goats, you know, if he gets 4 more next year and, you know, or whatever? I mean, how would you know?
Well, if he's going to register them already with the county or the state, you should have access to that information.
Does he? I mean...
Yeah. You've got to regulate them with the health department.
Okay.
Again, some of there needs to be teeth in that enforcement to be able to say when you file that, that information needs to be shared here, because otherwise we'll never know.
Right.
And someone else is granting permission to have livestock in Federalsburg when they don't live with the consequences of it. So that's, you know, and again, that was a hole in our ordinance, because people didn't think about it in the past. It wasn't
right.
An issue. So this that sort of thing gets ahead of this. Also, it's just going to have to be done through regular code enforcement and a better ordinance with clear defined penalties, more discussion of what a nuisance animal is going to make the code enforcement officer's ability to do the job effectively a little bit easier, because the working on the conditions that the previous code enforcement officer was working under, he had to enforce what he could, and he didn't have the right to enforce what he couldn't. And that wasn't necessarily always understood by people. So the more, the clearer any of these regulations are, the better. Because I know he's been doing it with other animals. Send people a copy of the ordinance, let them know, they can, you would know, the neighbors. And, you know, and then they get addressed that way. So that's what we're seeing. There's one code enforcement officer for a lot of backyards with the potential for a lot of backyard critters going on. And that's just, I don't know, that's an enforcement issue. It's not a police that matter. I mean, you don't call the cops for a goat in the backyard. You call the code enforcement officer
right.
for a goat in the backyard.
Yeah. I know at 7 o'clock this morning there was a rooster crowing way off in the distance.
Oh, no. You know, he was somewhere between my house and your house.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was super loud this morning at 6 o'clock, and I walked out, and I was like, should I grab a baseball bat? Because I didn't know if he was in my
yeah,
yard or
I
not.
I don't know where they were.
I think there's one on Maple, too.
He's, I think he's roaming around.
So we definitely have ideas for different things that we'd like to put in as far as grandfathering or anything like that. This is just to introduce the ordinance.
Correct.
And then we hold a public hearing.
Correct. Now, that's not probably going to be until October, because
absolutely.
We can't make,
absolutely.
Can't make, there's no way we can make the posting.
Right, so we're still changing anyway for okay, so we
yeah.
would get back. So if we have any changes, we should send them to Lindsay so we can do an introduction to then schedule the public hearing, right?
But even the grandfathering is you know, you can grandfather something for an interminable amount of time, and it's a non-conforming use, and it still aggravates everybody around it.
Right.
You know, a two-year, the being conforming with the law in 2 years is not unreasonable, because we ask it of every other zoning. You know, a real feature of the zoning ordinance. So, you know, you've got 2 years of non-compliance, get in compliance. 2 years is an awful long time to get in compliance. I mean, it's legislative discretion about grandfathering or putting a sunset, but, you know, a grandfather can live an awful long time.
Yes, we saw them from Google. When we Googled the age of...
Good.
Yes. So they can live a very long time.
So even if we introduce it tonight, it can still be changed.
Right. Up to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we change public hearing,
Yeah, because it's not on the top of it because it wasn't. Yeah. I guess she might have thought it was just might be for a discussion right now, and then once. So, do you want to introduce an hour? Do you want to? It's 8, right? Oh, I thought you said 1. Okay.
Can we do it without it?
I think so.
Okay. Well, then don't. Well, then don't worry about it.
Well, you can probably just use the title.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to introduce an ordinance of the mayor and council of Douglasburg to amend Chapter 17 of the Douglasburg Town Code entitled Animals to prohibit the keeping of farm animals in all zoning districts and to prohibit the keeping and maintaining of any exotic animals as described and regulated by state law. I'm going to introduce that ordinance.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Do you want to schedule the public hearing at this time, or you want to wait and see if we have other changes? Because we wouldn't have the public hearing until October, because
right.
The 19th is tied up.
Right. So can we schedule it for, it will be October, I'm looking at this right.
Third?
October 3rd. Is that enough time?
17th is just as much time, and whatever you're comfortable with. 17th is only a month, 5 weeks away.
Let's do 17th.
Yeah.
Schedule for here for October 7th.
For October 17th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so can I have a motion to schedule the public hearing for 10/17?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. Love that public hearing on 17th.
I
have to read all those other long ones. Okay, next we have letter of notice to Eastern Shore Environmental pursuant to contract section 20.C. Tom entered, right?
This was a discussion held earlier. Eastern Shore Environmental, which is awarded the contract, was a trash collecting effective on June 1, has not met the terms of its contract. Contract section 20 is on termination. C is for lack of performance. So staff recommends that mayor and council, upon further discussion, direct the town attorney to draft a letter of notice to Eastern Shore Environmental pursuant to that section terminating their contract or agreement to provide residential trash collection to the town of Federalsburg.
Let me just say for the residents that are here, I don't think there's any shock that we're talking about trash not getting picked up. We did what we thought was right and went with the cheapest people who had filled in for us and did fine on a part-time basis for, a year?
Yeah,
whenever
easily.
Whenever we needed him, he was here to pick up. He was the cheapest. We went with him, and no sooner did we sign the contract for the last 2 months or whatever. I don't know what to say, but trash has not been a very pleasant topic in this room.
And not only the cheapest, but picked up for the town of Chestertown.
Yeah.
Picked up for the town of Denton. Picked up for the, like, had other clients across the East.
That were happy with them.
Rock Hall, Silversville.
References were happy with their performance. So there was due diligence done as well. Where we thought the cheapest was safe. Plus, it didn't raise rates.
So,
it's always possible. So,
we're looking at basically voiding that contract and having a new hauler start tomorrow morning. So, and with that said, I'd like to make a motion to terminate the contract of Eastern Shore Environmental pursuant to contract section 20.
C. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
We're tired of talking trash, so we would like to have somebody that's consistent.
Yeah.
So
we are not happy either.
Yeah.
I mean, we all live in town. So.
Okay, next is the request to connect. Do you have that? It was pending. The request to connect?
No, we don't.
Nope, okay. Next is the agreement with Big Time Trash LLC to provide residential trash collection on an interim basis.
Well, when the town put out the RFP in the spring, we had two contractors bid on it. Eastern Shore Environmental was awarded the bid. Big Time was the other bidder who wanted to put in a proposal. Big Time also has pinched in for us in the past. Just went down the list. When Eastern Shore Environmental was demonstrating that they couldn't meet the obligations of the contract, who was next, Big Time, had a fair discussion with them. They are also working with a number of other communities on an interim basis to pick up the slack left by Eastern Shore Environmental's inability to meet their obligations. So they've come forward with a cost proposal and an ability to pick up trash. This is an immediate basis need. We put out an RFP. This was the only other company that bid. No one's been denied due diligence. So for an interim period of time, for a period of time, Mayor and Council will discuss and determine. Staff is proposing that the town enter into an interim agreement pending contractual terms that can be drafted, mutually acceptable by our attorney, for an interim basis for Big Time to just residential trash collection. They will not be changing out trash cans. They will not be providing kind of customer service people are used to calling town hall for. So if there's a miscollection or issue with the trash can, people still going to need to call us. And we'll send Keith and the guys out to replace your can. And it's not going to be a Big Time black and orange can. It's still going to be a green town can. That's what you get with an interim service provider. So we're still in the trash business to an extent.
But there's one foot out.
Big foot out.
Right.
Make a motion to enter into a contract with Big Time Trash, provide residential trash collection on an interim basis for a period of time that equal to the balance of this budget year at the rate that they have quoted.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the September 19th, 2022 workshop. So we have requested that representatives from AquaCon come to our community meeting. We will be having that on the 19th. That will be our meeting in its entirety. Will be questions from the community to AquaCon. That probably will be held upstairs because there, I'm sure there will be a large delegation that has questions, just like mayor and council have questions. So we will be posting that and advertising that, but that meeting will be solely for community to ask questions of the AquaCon representatives.
We have a format, so it'll still be a town work session.
Yes.
So we'll still gavel it to order it, and it'll be still Zoom done. Is there a format for that? Are we collecting the questions and posing the questions from the council? Is it, I mean, what is the, you know, the format for it?
So I have the questions that were handed out the other night at the community meeting, and then I can look to see if there's any other questions that were submitted on our portal. I don't know. There was an article in the Star Democrat that was posted today. It did have the link to the concerns portal for people to put their, for residents to put their stuff in, but I haven't checked to see if there's any more. My thought is we give them the list of questions, and they can go through and answer them, and if there's any that weren't addressed, then the audience can ask additional questions in addition to what they've already collected.
Well, we have that list of questions available to the audience too.
Yes.
When they get there.
Yes. And I think pretty much a lot of them are the ones off of the one that were at the community meeting and anything else that has been collected online and anybody that anybody else has received on mayor and council or staff, right, that has not already, that's not already covered. We'll give them the comprehensive list of questions.
Have we heard from AquaCon yet about who may actually come?
I know Mr. Showalter is coming. I'm not sure if anybody else is coming. I know Mr. Showalter is coming.
He committed to come.
Yeah, well, I knew he did.
Yes.
I just, At times, I find it somewhat interesting that the lawyers are the ones coming and answering the technical questions about a project that big. I mean, the man from Easton that supposedly is the engineer on record for the project, why isn't he coming to answer the questions we have as opposed to the lawyer?
Great question.
He's been invited. So
that's one of my first questions right there. So
that's a great question. And maybe Ryan will have an answer, or maybe the engineer will show up. I'm not sure. Do you guys have any other? Are you guys okay with that format? If we just do the, I'll type up the questions that we have that we're starting with, and then we have whatever other questions the rest of us have. So I'll get this converted into a document, and then you guys can add anything else that isn't already covered on there, and we'll get that posted. Next, we have mayor and council action items. Councilman Windsor.
Planning and zoning, the only thing they focused on is they're reviewing the comprehensive plan, and they deleted several paragraphs that no longer were related to what we're doing, and they managed to get through the first 40 pages, and I think it's like 200 pages.
Wow.
So that's it.
Great. Thank you. Councilwoman Sewell?
I have a couple of things. I have a meeting later this week with a representative from the Maryland State Arts Council to discuss public art, specifically sturgeon, for the bicentennial year, and see what opportunities we might be able to partner with them on. I did want to check with Christy. Has Mr. Reagan come in to sign anything yet? Okay, I will see him tomorrow morning at a meeting and hopefully walk him over here to get that taken care of.
And check. Yep. They need to turn that money over so that we can facilitate the meeting.
Does he have the agreement?
I have.
Okay.
I can print one. I can print it off.
Okay.
So I can actually, print it off, have him sign it at my meeting and bring it to you. And are you a notary?
I am.
Okay. Because I need a liquor license application notarized for an event for the town. As you guys know, I am the Parks and Rec Committee liaison from the council. And I have had a very difficult time contacting all the members who said they wanted to be on that committee, and really am beginning to question their interest in being on the committee. So I would like to do another call for interest to see and really sort of lay out my vision for what this committee is, that it's not sports only, that it's recreation and small group activities in our parks and public spaces. So anyway, I would like to do that and sort of start fresh. Christy, did Ms. Van Zant get up with you today? She contacted me. Trigas is using the pavilion up at Chambers Park over the weekend for an employee event. She said that she had spoken to you.
M&M.
Mm-hmm. And she had some questions that some of them I was able to answer for her.
Is that Summer?
Summer.
She never used her last name.
Oh, okay.
We've only communicated by first name, but she did call me, yes.
Today?
Yes.
About the porta-potties?
Yep.
Because I did not know what that schedule was, and I told her you would.
Okay. So I gave her Bruce's number and told her if that didn't pan out, call me back, have time.
Okay.
So
but I told her I would follow up.
Yes, but, she did.
Okay. And I think that is it for me.
On your Parks and Rec, I think that's a good idea to solicit new people with an explanation of that we're trying to expand it to not just be the sports.
Right, I'm not excluding the sports,
no,
but
to get more input, like you said, whether it's a walking club or other activities that are around town
exactly
that are not specific to sports, but they occur in the parks. when I was watering the plants one day over the weekend, Chris Park stopped and talked to me. There's irrigation on that ball field up there, apparently, the senior league field. But I guess somebody had rolled over with the mower and cut the heads off or something.
I don't know when the last time it worked.
I think there's a lot of history that we need to document on some of those fields, mm-hmm. Besides what we've put in and what we've given to Delegate Grist to turn in for what our priorities are up at Chambers Park. There's some stuff I think that could be documented as to some history of some of the stuff up there that somebody just doesn't know, or somebody goes to do something, and when I mentioned it, they were like, oh, well, there's irrigation already run over here that somebody paid for, and so I think those are some of the things that would be nice to collectively have as a whole, so we understand where things are connected and who's done what and what's where and what we might just need to fix versus what needs to be a total revamp or totally done.
Yeah, and besides her asking for volunteers, there is an opening on planning and zoning if anyone's interested.
Yes, so that would be a new, we can resurface your...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Councilman Phillips?
Homecoming parade. Mm-hmm. The high school has asked if they can have a homecoming parade Friday the 30th, starting at 5:30 from the marina down Main Street to Lake Lucy's Flowers.
Is that September snow?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Monday, right? That is the
30th. Yes, it is.
Yes.
What was the time again?
5:30.
They want to start at 5:30, line up, you know, quarter of five. I talked to the chief. He said that's fine. I told him I was going to bring it up tonight. So I just wanted to make sure the mayor and council was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I'm good with it. So is that like then they go out to the football game and have the football game? Yay!
it'll be back the way it used to be.
I know. I was really happy to see that.
The floats and all will be out to the high school for the parade and it worked good when we were doing the big festival for that Saturday out there, but since the festival has gone by the wayside, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to do the parade Saturday morning after everything. So I'll let them know that's fine. Two things for, I guess, you, Larry. Roughly 205 East Central. And if he said it in his reports, I'm sorry, I missed it, has weeds in the front yard that must be 3.5 foot tall at a minimum. If we could have some of them. Nobody lives in the house. And the other thing, I'm not trying to harp on the new store, but we have the rules and regulations. We either need to look at rules and regulations or we need to enforce what we have. We have a regulation about the percentage of windows that can be taken up by signs.
That would be 100%.
In the new grocery store, it is totally covered with a sign. I'm sure they didn't know, but it's something else. Just because they don't know, it means they can cover the windows up and go with it.
So but there was some argument years ago, if a sign's on the inside,
if it's covering any part of the window, it's covering part of the window. It does not matter if it's on the inside or the outside. And I believe we have a few others that
they've been allowed to get that way.
I thought we had talked about that at one other point. I didn't know if he was working on the list or not, but I rode by and I saw that, and I'm glad a new store opened up and I hope they're doing well, but that's just the thing. We either have the rules or we don't, and we need to enforce what we have for everybody. So
this might be a good opportunity to revisit the people who are abusing that, you know, sort of try to set the bar a little higher.
And I'm guessing on that 205, it's in that neck of the woods. He's not going to miss it. Got the weeds out front. Let's see. Paredes. I believe that's all.
Thank you. Council Willoughby?
I just want to publicly thank Public Works for picking up trash for the last month.
Mm-hmm.
We were out of the trash business for doing that in the heat of mowing season and everything else that's going on. And it's been about 3 weeks since we've met. We've gotten a couple of emails in that time period about personnel, things like that. So could you do
All right. Last week for the Fettelsburg Activity Center, Delegate Maltz attended the meeting. He is working on some other requests for grants and working on trying to speed up the reimbursement process that has seemed to have stalled. Apparently, some receipts have been turned in, but they have not been turned back around. So Delegate Maltz was going to work on that. And I believe he was getting a tour of the facility after we got done with the meeting. I think they were going to take him over and walk around so they could see what he's done, what we've done. And then just a reminder, we have our bicentennial kickoff party on October 15th. Tickets are available here and online. They are $30 and $50 if you get them here. They're $35 and $55 if you get them online just because of the service fee. We have... music, food. We are having it to catered event, so we would love for everybody to come. We have started to sell some tickets, so anybody that is interested, if you guys can buy your tickets so we can give the caterer the amount of people that are coming, that would be great. We have all kinds of previews for what's going on for the Bicentennial, and the Bicentennial Community Meeting is continuing to meet to plan a fantastic year for next year for all of our activities. Councilman Sewell and I had a meeting with DNR today for part of what we're trying to do with the river for cleanup. That went well. We have some stuff. We have some tasks that we have to get together for the DNR contact that we have. Once we package that up, he will then forward that on. We're just going to try to see if we can get a little more of the river cleaned up. I paddled up there on Sunday. Everything that I cleaned up in the spring is still passable. That's all good, but there are some trees that were down that are completely laying on the ground that block any fish passage to get further up, and it's causing some blockage. So I took some pictures, so we will be submitting that to DNR. Hopefully they will get us some help. Town Manager DeReed, what about, like, the marina? Has the guy been back to work?
He was back today.
Okay.
He's been, I think he worked a day and a half last week. Back today with the mini excavator. I did document some photos, so those will all get sent out to DNR as well. He's promised to get the job done in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
So, again, pending weather and whatever other issues we may be dealing with, staffing, what have you, that project should be wrapping up. We've got until 31st of December to get it done, but nobody wants to see all that construction out there until the end of the year.
Right. That would be nice if that was wrapped up sooner rather than later. Okay, I think that's all I have. Do you guys have anything else?
Yeah, Mayor, you talked to a lot of people. Have you heard anything about brunch all day? What's going on there?
I have not. I texted them. They got their liquor license. I texted him a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get anything back. So I will try to reach back out to them.
No,
I know they got
curious.
Their liquor license, but I haven't heard.
Mm-hmm.
Last post I saw is they got their liquor license, or they were staffing. They've had staff.
I saw that and thought it was... And then that they were going to open back up
same.
And be ready to go.
Right.
I've not seen anything else since.
I have not either. So I'll reach back out to them, see if I can and get any information, more information from them. Nobody has anything else?
Mayor.
Yes?
I have several questions.
Okay.
One for Councilman Windsor.
Yes, sir.
There was an appeal up at Lywood, a zoning appeal?
Yes, for the building. Christy, yes.
Yeah, rescheduled to the 22nd.
So are you familiar with that, since
no.
You're on planning and zoning?
It's the Board of Appeals. It's a different
yeah.
board.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of Board of Appeals?
Vernon Cole.
Okay. So what's going on up there?
They want to build a building behind the existing building. And they want to build it visually in conjunction with the existing building, and that building doesn't currently meet the setback requirements.
New owner?
No.
Okay.
Same owner.
Who is the engineer for AquaCon?
The only one we dealt with so far is Bob Brown.
Is he the engineer or consultant for the town?
No, he's not.
No.
He's not consultant for the town.
Does the town have a town engineer
yes.
or, and or consultant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
GMB.
Okay. We went out for bid, and they won the bid.
That's a public advertisement back a year ago.
And who is the representative for DNR that you're dealing with?
So the one that I'm talking to is Daryl Kennedy, but he's out of the ecotourism office out of Western Maryland.
So has anyone been contacted with DNR in regards to this AquaCon project?
DNR is aware of it. We mentioned it to Daryl Kennedy today when we talked to Daryl Anthony. When we talked to him today, we mentioned it to him. He, because he works on ecotourism, was not familiar with that. But there are there's a couple different branches under DNR. There's a fisheries person, and then there's a land acquisition person. Then there's like the police, natural resources police. So there's a couple of different branches. So I'm not sure which person under DNR is spearheading or tracking or paying attention to what's going on with that one. I can try to get the name for you. I can see if Daryl knows.
Maybe Mr. Gerard knows.
There's a fisheries unit that's managing the sturgeon. Chuck Stentz runs that unit, I believe. And then, of course, we're here from Dave Secor with University of Maryland, partners with DNR on some of the sturgeon work out there. If you're talking about specifically about sturgeon, DNR, as the mayor said, has many different
I don't know that in your email today there was any reference to DNR. Someone to contact?
I don't think that email has a contact for DNR.
Is that important to know?
I would call Chuck Stentz with the fisheries unit at DNR. I think he would be a good contact there. This would like to be escaping me right now, but I'm sure that.
And a question: what's the deal on this? Is the for the centennial? Are we manufacturing sturgeons?
The public art project that we are currently involved with. The Historical Society is one of the people who purchased, is it 7 foot long?
Close to 7 foot long, fiberglass sturgeon.
Fiberglass sturgeon, which will be decorated by each individual business or group to be put on display next year as public art around town.
Those are going to be for sale, correct?
We already sold them. There was 13
the
people that bought them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if the Historical Society wanted to display their sturgeon at the end of the year inside there somewhere, they could, or they could donate it back to the town to leave out in our community as public art.
And we're trying to preserve and protect the sturgeons in the Marshy Oak Creek.
Yes. I'm not sure what you're
thinking about this AquaCon project.
Right. It's sort of ironic we picked this project.
It's rather ironic.
Well, before all of this came to a head.
Little did we know when we picked the sturgeon for our art.
We are very cognizant of the value of the sturgeon and that they do live here in the Marshy Oak, and that was why they were selected.
I will note that you made that comment that we're very concerned about the sturgeons. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
How much information do you have on the up at Senior League Park for the irrigation?
I don't have much information on it. All I know is what Chris Parks told me, that there was irrigation put up there at one time, and somebody had left the caps up. They didn't shut it off or something, and some people had mowed over when they were cutting grass at one point. But I don't know. I'd like to know more about it because we'd like to try to get in there and see.
I was still involved in the senior league when that was installed.
Okay.
They did not drain the pipes. I assume over that 15 years ago, the pipes had probably frozen and busted. I'm not sure, but. It's been that long.
Okay. Oh, that wouldn't surprise me, but then, I mean, if the water obviously isn't running, because there's no leaks up there, right. So my guess is it's been turned off at some point. The question is, did it turn off after it froze and cracked, or had they just turned it off and nobody ever turned it back on after somebody mowed over the caps and realized, oh, we should have turned that off, so.
David, am I correct in the fact that the way that worked was it hooked to that fire hydrant right there, so it wasn't running water hooked to it the whole time? You had to actually hook the hose to the fire hydrant?
Scott, I think you're right about the fire hydrant, but I'm not sure if the water was ever shut off, and I assume there had to be a shutoff valve.
Yeah, because I thought there was a hose that used to come out the side fence there that they used, and they would hook the hose to the fire hydrant to then do the irrigation, just turn the fire hydrant on, hook the hose, it would irrigate it, and you had to, you know, turn the fire hydrant. But I can't remember. I just remember that hose laying there. I was thinking that's what it was for, but I'm not sure.
I'm not going to say for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the more information we can collect up there about what really is up there would be fabulous. Mm-hmm. I think there's been a lot of stuff that's done that most people don't know. So, yes, sir?
Thanks, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name's Alan Gerard. I'm with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. Thank you so much for coming to the community meeting. I see several faces on the council and mayor came to the meeting just a week ago. Well attended. Just a quick comment. I did look up the gentleman's name. Tony Redmond is the Chief of Environmental Review at the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. I think Chuck's fisheries team is involved with Tony. Tony actually has submitted a couple of letters to the Maryland Department of Environment asking questions about habitat in the Marshy Hope and what MD is doing to protect it through this discharge permit. Comment period that is open now with MDE, that comment period closes on Monday, October 17th. And just a food for thought, you know, as you are holding the meeting with AquaCon on the 19th of September, which I appreciate you having, I think that's a great move to ask questions that the community is communicating to you and have AquaCon respond. I'd encourage you to think what the answers of those questions will do for you. Like, okay, I've got to answer these questions. Let's presume they're good ones. You know, what is my next step as a mayor and council? Where am I headed? We are in a public comment period with the Maryland Department of Environment. I would suggest that the council, once it's informed by AquaCon with answers to the questions that have been asked, communicate to MDE and say, we have asked questions. Here are the responses that we've received. We want to let you know where we stand as a town as MDE makes this permitting decision. I've asked those questions to MDE and also the Department of Natural Resources. DNR is obligated in issues like these to communicate any habitat concerns when the Maryland Department of Environment is considering a discharge permit request like it's considering now. So I think it's fair to communicate any questions and answers you have to the Department of Environment as well as the Department of Natural Resources. I think that will help Tony in his permit review make sure that they are doing their due diligence as a state agency and considering all the habitat issues that I know you all are concerned with. So.
Well, and one of the things that we wanted to do with DNR was to see if there was a way that we could establish more habitat further up into the river, because it really is pristine and beautiful up in there. And I was hoping I would have sturgeon sighting while I was out kayaking, but I didn't have any luck. Lots of things flopping around in the water. But
yeah, I will let you know that you're not alone in being concerned with this issue. There are folks in the General Assembly, some committee chairs in both the House and the Senate are writing DNR. MDE with their concerns and questions as well. We've also spoke with officials at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. This is the East Coast-wide body of fisheries managers that regulate sturgeon, among other species, menhaden, and many other striped bass. They have questions as well. So it's important that when the Maryland Department of Environment makes a discharge decision like this, it is a decision that is as well-informed as possible. And this is your community. You're hearing from the residents. You're representing people here. It's important for you to get in touch with MD and let them know what you think.
Sounds good. Thank you. Anybody else?
I have a question. We're a little confused on one thing. We know that the land was annexed in.
Mm-hmm.
Has that land been purchased by AgriCon?
At least two of the farms. I believe at least two of the properties were purchased.
That's my understanding. There are still negotiations for the final land.
purchased. Mm-hmm.
They purchased it before we annexed it in.
Okay. So then they would just sell it if this falls through?
Yeah. Or, mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be an option. I mean, it's theirs. It's, you know, it would be private property.
Because we've heard different stories that they did own it and that they didn't own it.
I believe two of the three have been purchased.
What land does that take in? When you say farms, I'm not.
I think it's the Schmick farm.
Paul owned both sides of Bright Road.
It's from walking out the back of your house, right across the highway, from right that ditch to the back of the Paul farm, all right. On the one side of the road. It's actually three separate parcels. There's a little square on the corner of Wright Road and the bypass.
Right.
Then the people from Preston own the next farm. I can't think of their name for nothing.
Schmick. There's a Schmick and Paul
yes,
farm.
The
right.
Schmicks own.
On the other side of the trees?
No.
Yeah.
Right there on the right. Well, yes, on the other side of the trees.
Tree,
also,
yes, there's
also
a couple tree lines, yes.
Because, well, I thought the other day as I'm going by thinking, I can't envision a 25-acre building.
Well, there's about 200 acres there that they were looking to find, correct me.
And I wondered what was going to happen to that little woods there.
Yeah.
Because I know deer are in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the building would be right on Wright Road and in that ditch, off
well,
that ditch.
We have never seen, they have never brought building plans to us, to the planning and zoning for anything. What they did tell us at one point that they thought, now I use the word thought because everything they've told us to date usually changes when they come back the second time. They thought the building would be farther back on the Paul farm, so it would be, there would be 100 acres between the building and the main road. The Paul farms is 100 acres, then there's another 100 acres, and then it's the bypass. They had told us at one point that it would be on the second 100 acres farther back off of the bypass.
Yeah, because that land butts up to the Ubus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Farm.
It would mm-hmm. be that parcel that Jimmy Paul owned. Like I said, that's something they mentioned. They could have totally different plans by the time if it goes any farther. But that.
That's been a while ago
yes,
that they've said that, so who knows?
Yeah,
since we're going to be in our backyards, right?
Since
because I live two doors from her.
Since I've been on planning and zoning, they have not presented anything.
Don't they have to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. At some point,
yeah,
yes.
I mean before you make a final decision.
Yes,
well, that's just it. We're
that's
not
the point.
Fine.
Right.
That's what I've been trying to
well,
say.
Well, I guess
not,
my concern yeah. is we're on a time crunch with MDE and
with
that permit.
Yes.
I mean, are we done if they get the permit?
Yeah.
No.
All
right, that is a big concern.
I think that's a huge misconception that's out there. We had some conversations at the end of the meeting with Tuesday with some folks at state level. If they get this permit, what the permit is going to do is going to lay out the rules of the game for what they can and can't do in their business enterprise. And they're going to have to then go and design or redesign how this is all going to work. At that point, they're going to have to come to planning and zoning with a site drawing. They're going to have to come to this body with an industrial belt request. They're going to have all the different steps that any other development has to take. Where I think there's a couple misconceptions. Like, so one person came up to us, we were there, and said, well, you know, Cambridge just voted to say no. But that's not a true statement. Cambridge, they went to planning and zoning. They needed something from planning and zoning. Planning and zoning said no. They appealed to the Board of Zoning Appeals. The Board of Zoning Appeals said no. They were farther along in the process than they are right now. So there's not this up and down vote, can you come, can you not come. There's, are you working within our ordinances and what is our oversight? So when we say, as a town council, we've done three things. Annex the property, run calculations on the water sewer plant, and allow them to connect what would be their road to the cul-de-sac and the thing. That's the three things we've done. That's not the only three things they need to have us do. That's just what we've done to date. This deadline, I think, has, I mean, it's brought a ton of focus to it, which is a good thing. Because I hope you hear, and I will say, but in some comments and stuff, I still sort of hear this, like, you know, the town council is pushing this project and wants it, and it's going to vote to approve it no matter what. That's not our feeling on it. I hope you guys know that's not our feeling.
See, we don't know.
We don't know tonight. You are stating how you feel. We haven't known up to tonight.
And that's what I tried to say last Tuesday night.
Right.
Is we have a lot of different things that have to go through the procedure. But that's part of the procedure. That's part of where we go. And so, you know, there's going to be a time where they're going to come before this body and ask for this, or they're going to come before planning and zoning and ask for that. But part of our frustration, and I'll just say it, is you guys are asking questions that are great questions. And I don't have an answer for you.
That's our frustration, too.
Yeah. And I don't have an answer for you, because as I said Tuesday night, and I heard Mr. Jones and make a comment after I said it, so I hope you understand how I said it. In a year of being on this council, Aquaton has never once stood at that podium.
I know, when you said that, because I'm thinking,
right.
Okay, because
right.
of what we perceive,
right.
mm-hmm.
are you doing your due diligence in
and,
allowing this?
And I know that's how it was taken. I understand that's how
right.
it was taken, because I heard the comment that was mumbled after it was taken. But at the same time, we're not to a point where we need to take a vote on anything.
So no vote has been taken?
No.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard that last Tuesday night. Well, you've committed to this, and you've committed to... No. And I said that to someone at the end. Every meeting is recorded. This is being recorded right now. You can go back if you really want. You are like me and are just a complete dork. You can go listen to every meeting that we've had.
I was going to ask about that.
Dorchy night.
2 years' worth is on the website.
How do you get to them?
Townfellsburg.org.
Yeah.
Go to where it says town meetings. Every town meeting is up there with the agenda, the minutes, the packet. So when you see us, when people are talking and you see us looking,
mm-hmm.
we get a packet with which to help us make our decision with background information. The packet is published up there, so you can see exactly what we're looking at. So you could have gone on before the meeting tonight, printed it off, brought it with you, had the same stuff in front of you the weekend.
Okay, did not know.
And then, we're trying to be
yeah.
transparent.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
You know, and then the recording is there. So you can hear everything that's been said. It's 2 years worth. I'm going on about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
so guess what? That's pretty convenient. So go listen to it. If for some reason you don't believe what you're hearing, go listen to it.
Right.
But three things have been done. And I will say this, and this is my personal opinion, but if you came in, if you said you wanted to start a conversation with the town of Fellsburg and you wanted to develop something here that was going to bring in jobs and things like that, I do believe we have to balance that with what is our small town feel, what are our resources and things like that. The council has said, the whole year I've been here, our biggest resource, our most underutilized resource is that creek right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We all believe that. Wendy, you've heard us say that at bicentennial meetings,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Okay, so you can back me up. You know, you can hear that, but when, if someone said they wanted to come in and they wanted to look at us for development, and they said, you know, annexation is a first request, I'd probably vote for annexation for that development, because sometimes that is the leverage to them getting funding, that is the leverage to investors knowing that it's serious. Doesn't mean it's being built. Doesn't mean it's coming tomorrow. It just means, okay, here you are. You know, if you have property and you want to connect a road to a cul-de-sac that's already there, that's that. And if you want to come in and you need to run calculations, I mean, if you wanted to build a house, we have to run calculations that can take your sewage, right? These are all procedural things that we've done. At no point is this a feeling of any council member or the council as a whole to say, this is a great project, let's move forward.
No, and up here, you know, you talk about annexes. Up there by Food Line, between Food Line and Trigas, we annexed that in. And you see what's there? The people?
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. They were going to build houses and everything else, and it just fell through. So, you know.
Do we need to voice our opinions to planning and zoning about how we feel about this company?
Once they have the site plan.
Yeah, I would think once they have the site plan.
Their meetings are open to the public.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and they're published on the website about what time they are, just like ours.
Yeah. They have an agenda listed.
So they have your own website.
Yeah. No, it's the town of Federalsburg.
The last Tuesday of the month.
Can we ask who is on the Planning and Zoning Commission?
Who is?
Uh-huh.
There's Mercedes Moyer. There's Eric Smith. There's Josh Phillips.
Sharon Ewing.
Yeah, Sharon Ewing. And the fifth one's open.
I was just, I knew that was coming.
If you want something done, ask a busy person.
Right. Wendy's got enough that she's working on right now between Bicentennial and the Fiddlesburg Activity Center. So,
Wendy,
is she a town resident to go on the planning and zoning?
Yes.
Yeah, it's only one night a month.
I don't live in town. I'm on Liberty Road.
Last Tuesday of the month.
I'm gonna check for other people.
Okay. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. They would like to have somebody else.
And what we did last time, because when we started, our committees and stuff, our things didn't have a lot of people on them, and we put out a general sign up. We put a description of every committee and board we had, planning commission, everything, a little description of it. Tell us what you're interested in, whether you have to be a town resident or not. If, like, Board of Zoning Appeals, you don't have to be a town resident. Planning and zoning, you do. Like, we put it all out there, and we got folks to sign up, and that's how we actually filled our boards. That was January, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was through public input and public sign up. So, and we're getting ready to do that again. You heard that in the meeting with Parks and with Tom Vacancy there.
I have one other statement, I guess, more so than a question. It appears that Aquacon is dictating to you, not, it's like they don't answer questions and, you know, it appears to the public that they are dictating to you and not you to them.
They're not under any obligation right this second to answer any questions to us.
And there's very little interaction between us is the truth.
And that scares us probably.
Right, but they're under obligation right now to answer questions to MPE. They have to put a proposal in front of them. And once they put a proposal in front of us that then we have to up and down vote on, then, you know what, there are some questions that they're going to have to ask. Because if they don't answer those questions,
it doesn't mean.
I have to decide how to vote. But right now, they don't have to answer anything.
Right.
And look, it frustrates me too. You know? And I'm going to put comments. I'm going to publish my comment when I do it so that you can see it, assuming that you follow it. But, or you care what I have to say.
I don't know you're a dork.
But, you know, it's not dictating, they're not dictating to us, because dictating means that you're forcing someone to do something. Not forcing us to do anything, and they haven't asked us to do anything.
They're not even communicating with us.
Right,
and that's scary. That's scary.
Yeah,
well, we don't like it either.
Well,
I mean, for
that's why we're having a meeting dedicated to them to be able to come and answer questions.
You would think, knowing down the road they're going to need votes from us, that they would.
It behooves them. Yeah.
That makes me feel better, because naturally, you know how people talk, and we get the stories that, oh, Mayor and Council's for it. It's like two articles I read on the same day in different papers. One said that you were definitely for it, and the other one said that you were undecided. Yeah.
Well, and that's what, so we have questions, and in 2 years, it's changed. Everything evolves. Mm-hmm. If you were to open a business, your business model might evolve because you have to do that to survive or for sustainability. When they first came and talked to us, they proposed something different. It was, they were doing an indoor fish farm, but there wasn't this or there wasn't that, and then there was this, then there was that. As Councilman Phillips said, every time we've talked to them, you get a different story because they are trying to narrow down what they need to do to either get their permit or be in compliance or maybe not even discharge into the river at all, which would make a lot of people happy, right? Maybe they need to figure that out. So then you get the jobs, you get the economic development, and we don't have any, we don't have to worry about the sturgeon or anything with the river, right? So those, maybe they've gone back to the drawing board after they heard a bunch of public comment stating we need to get ahead of this, and this is how we need to work stuff. Okay. Or maybe they're not. So, but those are the kinds of questions that we have, and we are for smart, sensible economic development, but we're not willing to, you know, to damage our most valuable asset that we have in town.
Thank you.
Yes. To your point, everything I've seen about the mayor and council's stand on this says that we are not listening to our residents. And quite honestly, I find that very offensive because
that
is not true. And nobody, but ma'am, nobody has come here, and we're having dialogue now, but nobody has come here, and we have not made any decisions. We have not acted on anything that would give anybody that indication. So to be sort of defamed like that, you know.
And I can tell you, I've lived in this town for all 53 years of my life. I see some of you in church. I see a lot of you in grocery stores. My email was published, it looks like, and handed out, which is, I don't care if I'm saying that. But you know how many times somebody has stopped me in the last 3 months? None. There's not one resident of this town who has taken the time to email me, call me, stop by the house, stop me in the grocery store, stop me in church, stop me anywhere and say, what's your thoughts on this? But yet every time I pick up the paper, I'm doing this or I'm doing that.
Just wait till Sunday.
I'll be there.
You know, in defense of us residents, I would not have known about Occoquan. You just said they've been in contact with you for the past 2 years.
Well, that's when.
I mean, of course, I watched the drilling of the well across the street for a long time. If it wasn't for my neighbor, Mr. Long, who got a letter because they wanted to buy part of his property that's there, we would know nothing about it. And he happened to talk to the right person, and I started talking to other people. And, of course, I wanted to give you the opportunity.
Yeah, if you go on the website, too, I mean, the website's the best place to stay.
The town website.
There's a whole Occoquan tab. Because everything we've talked about or had done with Occoquan, there's a tab right there for Occoquan.
Well, and everything else that's going on in town. How to volunteer, how to be involved. We have been asking for volunteers since I got on council 3 years ago. And we do a lot of stuff on our own because we can't get anybody to sign up and help.
Volunteers for what?
Whatever. Like the parks and rec, park cleanup. We clean up the Marshy Hope River twice a year. There's five of us that do it, and we post it on the town website, and we post it on Facebook that we're doing a river cleanup.
I don't think everybody in town is aware of that, though.
Well, but so we need you guys' help to try to figure out how to get the word out, right? Obviously, I'm going to tell you now, it is impossible for us to do a newsletter. The minute you print it out and mail it, it is out of date within 5 seconds after that date. Not to mention it's 55 or 60 cents to mail outdated information. So we're trying to find ways to keep everybody engaged and informed, which is a challenge. I mean, besides, you know, putting stuff on, I get not everybody's on Facebook, but most people do have at least a mobile phone that they can get to the website and they can see everything that's posted on the website.
I get texts about, I'm not even in town, but I get texts and calls about trash.
Right. That's because we use the reverse 911 system.
Oh, okay.
If you sign up for it.
You've signed
right,
up for that
Right, if you
signed
up
service.
For it, you automatically
right.
get
but
it.
But that's a way to get people, you know, to keep people informed about things.
Well, but then you get people that are like, well, I just got charged. I got a text about volunteering for a committee, and you just cost me 50 cents.
Oh, okay.
So yes, there's that, but then there's also people that are like, I didn't want that. Well, then, so then you need to go opt out, right?
And
so
those messages are limited. I mean, you can't have a 20-minute message on something like that either.
Can you boost your posts on Facebook? Can you boost them, or is that too expensive?
No, know, we can pay to boost them. The challenge is not everybody's on Facebook. Like, most people that we hit that are on Facebook, we get the Facebook people. I don't think we have a problem because we have a really good following because we post it and then we all share it. And then we've got a couple other sites that get shared on. Our challenge is the people that aren't on Facebook and don't follow us. That's where we're trying to get the people that... You know,
people
to be involved.
My father, who wouldn't know anything if I didn't walk over there and tell him. I mean, he's not going to be on Facebook, and he's not online searching. And if one of his three sons don't tell him, then he's not going to know. So,
well,
so
I admit that I have not been involved in town business because I figured because I was out of town that I really it was kind of silly for me to be involved.
But you're only, I mean, a mile
yeah.
or so. I mean,
I know,
and you're always welcome.
It's foolish of me to feel that way, I guess, in retrospect. But, and I should have been more involved and come to the meetings more than I should do, and or have. I've only been to one other meeting. But the way I found out was the MDE notice in the Star Democrat. That's how I found out about it.
I will say, the mayor does the mayor's minute after each meeting. So even if you're not attending the meetings,
mm-hmm.
it usually posts the day after our meeting. And
the
you can
video.
And it's
the
just
video.
A little, you know, five-minute
yeah,
video.
Yeah, I did a search on AquaCon. I did a Google search.
Mm-hmm.
I got one of those.
And that's not the whole meeting, but that's a good way to at least to see what we're talking about and maybe see if there's
the
something that interests you that you can go and look at the minutes or look, you know, a little dig a little deeper if something is of interest
well,
to you.
I make a point to share stuff like that on group pages too.
And that's, I mean, really, especially for the non-internet people, I mean, we rely on word of mouth. So, I mean, if you guys do read something or see something, share it. Share it with all your friends, whether it's on Facebook or, you know, just pick up the phone and call them.
Are you going to put the meeting on the sign up?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
All the mayor council meetings get put on the sign, but we'll put that one is for the AquaCon community meeting for the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bart.
Isn't the immediate question whether MDE is going to approve a permit?
I think the more immediate question is under what conditions are they going to approve it?
They have
right.
to approve it almost, don't they? Is that the way I understand it?
They said at the community meeting, and I haven't heard them be this clear. You know, if you look at their little flowchart, it's like, okay, we've got a permit request. We, you know, if anybody wants a public hearing, we can have a public hearing. If you don't have a public hearing, we approve it. If we do have a public hearing, we have a public hearing, and then we approve it.
Right.
And then if you remember the back and forth there, and they said, well, you know, that's what we call it a tentative determination and then final determination, because we can determine not to approve it, it's rare that they don't approve it. So
it's really just the stipulations they attach to the permit is what's going to make the difference. Like, for instance, right now they're talking about the phosphorus and nitrogen.
It's the new, the AquaCon nutrient offset. So if you go to their application, which you can find on the map, you can find the fact sheet on the town website, and it's been posted well in advance of August the 10th. They go in there about, it's not the whole application, it's the application fact sheet, which is about 12 pages. And they talk about the nutrient offset, because they're going to have to find somebody to cover about 700 pounds of nutrient, 690, anywhere between 0 and 691, ballpark 700. Well, that's, at this point, pending, written into their permit. Now, they're going to find somebody to offset that 700 pounds of nutrients, or they're not. And they're saying in their permit that the town wastewater plant could be upgraded to handle that nutrient offset. Engineering, it can. I mean, you can design a plant to do anything.
And
you can
pays for that.
There, and again, all you hear from AquaCon is what they want to say. They said, well, they would design it, and they would install it, and they would pay for it. And that's not been a proposal. That's been a thrown out line. All right? It's not come before the town council. It's not come before our town engineer. It would involve an amendment to the town permit, the town wastewater permit, which has been held up now for 2 years. So the town and MDE is working on our own permit, and at least in one of the publications, and I don't know if it was accurately attributed or not, I'll say this. when I've been quoted accurately. I don't know that that's the case with everyone who's ever been quoted. But what was quoted was that there would be stipulations on the town wastewater permit for the town wastewater plant to cover that nutrient load. Nobody's seen it. Nobody's seen the design. Nobody's seen the cost. Nobody's seen the operation. Nobody's seen the footprint of where this extra filter is going to fit in our wastewater plant. Nobody's seen what the offloads, the offset of the load, the weight load's going to be. No one knows exactly how many nutrient pounds Aquacon is producing. Aquacon probably knows. Aquacon hasn't said anything to anybody about it.
And right now, the amount that they need, the offset, is more than we're allowed to produce anyway, so we can't offset what they're asking, telling MDE they can create our wastewater plant to do. So what they're saying is physically impossible to do right now because we don't even produce that many to start with. So, as we said, there's a ton of questions and we are not rubber stamping anybody through anything. So.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad I came tonight because that makes us, you know, feel better because you hear everything on the street.
And thank you for letting us speak since we are non.
No, absolutely. You guys have
You're always welcome, truly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was told, let's see here.
We
again.
Were told. We were
Here's
told
hearsay. I was told somebody came to a meeting. They were told they couldn't speak. Not under you, people. This is.
Oh, I was going to say, we've never not
said,
allowed somebody to
you're
speak.
You're not a town resident? You can't say anything. So I came here tonight thinking, all right, I'll just have to keep my mouth shut. Or pass a note to win.
This has been a good communication.
Yes. Good. Well, please tell people about the 19th. Any questions? Yeah. If they have other questions, please get them submitted on that Google form so we can add them to everything that I have, all the paperwork that was given out at the meeting last week. I scanned that, and then we'll get an updated so we have a comprehensive list of questions. So we can try to get everybody's answers. Like, you guys have questions, we have questions. And like we all said, it's not a done deal. There's a lot that has to happen in order for that to fall into alignment.
I can't imagine there being enough benefits of them to offset all the concerns and possibilities of other things like, you know, sinkholes, property values, the sturgeon, you know, for 100 or 150 jobs. That's a lot of disruption.
Well, to Larry's point, he said he's been quoted accurate.
I can say that. I've been quoted accurate.
But if you read his quotes, what he has said is this is getting the most attention. And there is other development in town that is more of a sure thing, easier to do, more in line with our planning and zoning, has more jobs, and we'll be getting.
Yeah, that's a piece of cake right now compared to what we're.
And we'll be done before the first shovel gets put in the ground. Mm-hmm. And this permit has put the spotlight on it, and that's great, but it's also, and this is where I'll say again, I think it's led people to the conclusion that this is farther along than it is.
Yes.
And it's not.
No. And when we looked at Maine, we looked at Florida, that already have these processing plants, and they've had nothing but massive die-offs. So.
Well, the fact that Aquacon has never had a building, this would be their first business. Mm-hmm. It's like we're the guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm. And Frank Adams, I thought, had a good point. Somebody could enter there and talk to the residents where there's other.
Well, that's a different operation.
Right.
Right, yes. But it still failed. Didn't they say that failed?
No.
It
didn't fail. The one in Florida did not fail. They did have
massive.
They did have a dial, but they didn't fail. They're still processing.
Oh, okay.
But they do things differently than what Aquacon does. So it's the same but not, right? It's fish farming, but it's not the same.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And to speak to the point, I'm not taking up for anybody. Aquacon as a company has not had their own facility.
Right.
But the people who run and own Aquacon are all 25 and 30 year old veterans of the fish farming industry. It's not just a bunch of money people who came together and said, let's do this so we can make money.
Right.
So while Aquacon as a company has not owned the fish farm, to my knowledge, the people who run the company are very seasoned in what they're doing. So it's not like it's a people who have no clue what's going on just showing up at the doorstep and saying, hey, we want to try this. I'm in. So for what it's worth, I just want to let you know it's not people just throwing money at something to see what happens. They truly believe this is the future, and they have experience in this type of business.
My question, though, is why Fiddlesburg?
Yeah.
To me, this is like the least kind of place, that, you know, small town.
Just with the creek.
It was centrally located.
Yeah.
I think that's a double-edged sword. We just said there's other development that's looking at Fiddlesburg, right? You could ask that same question to these folks if you do want to come into town. Why here? You know what I mean? So we can't really pick and choose and say why here to the one we don't want when we then allow the other. Like, you know, like, why Fiddlesburg? Well, why not Fiddlesburg? We're in the center of the Eastern Shore. We have rail. We have access to industrial natural gas. We have
a lot of trucking.
Trucking. Mm-hmm. International business is the number three industry in town. And we have capacity in our wastewater treatment plant. I mean, you couldn't build a house in the town of Preston right now if you wanted to. They don't have capacity. We do. So we have a lot of things going for us for positive, good development.
And they have the space.
And we have the space.
We have the space. We're 4.5 hours within
New York.
A third or more of the population of the U.S. by truck. That's appealing to the salmon farmers because it gets them to the market in a day or two. So.
But Aquacon didn't look at the environmental impact.
No, they may not have.
Business would have.
Right.
That's how I feel.
They look at geography.
Right,
yeah.
How we're going to affect.
And like we said, it's changed multiple times. Like every time they propose something, they're like, well, they go back and revisit. And they might try this. Or they've gone back multiple times to the drawing board to try to figure out what was best. So, and they might still be at the drawing board. Because they've got enough people that are, you know, worried and concerned about the environmental impact, they might have to go back to the drawing board on that one.
And so. I met that's working with Aquacon. I will speak for them because my son worked for them. They're very reputable.
Mm-hmm. Who is?
I met.
They're with the University of Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, personally, I don't even like salmon, so I don't
want salmon. I'm right there with you.
Me either.
Now, if it was tuna.
Tuna farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, tuna farm.
All right, do you guys have anything else? Do you have any other questions for us? All right, well, we'll see you all on the 19th.
Yes.
Thank you.
Please pass the word.
Thanks for
caring.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
You're
oh,
very
of course.
Welcome. We're
thank
happy
you.
To do
we're,
that.
It's a great event, so we're happy to support it.
Thank you for all your service.
Thank you.
Would you like to make your motion?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Are you right?
Did we have a second? Did I miss that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thanks, Bart.
Do we need closing order?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't trust these people.